Shalom. Stefan Young now with this message about First Fruits Pentecost Feast of Weeks. And in Isaiah chapter 59, the Spirit of Yahweh is going to be poured out, even in Joel 2:23. But Isaiah 59, or Yeshayahu chapter 59, verse 19, they shall fear the name of Yahweh from the west, and the esteem from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of Yahweh shall lift up a standard against him. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith Yahweh. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith Yahweh. My Spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of the seed, saith Yahweh, from henceforth and forever. And then as we flip the pages over to Jeremiah, of course, we have the writing of the covenant in our hearts and our minds, the writing of his laws. After those days, saith Yahweh, I'll put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts. It will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. And then in another place, in Ezekiel 36:26, a new spirit will I put within thee, and a heart of flesh for the heart of stone. And so many references to the husbandman coming to take the bride away, and that the bride in her proper attire shall welcome the King of Kings when he comes at Yahweh's supper. The wedding supper of Yahweh, and that's going to be very soon. We have to be in the Spirit and be ready and have the proper attitude, the proper mind, and change of heart. That Yahweh's Spirit is going to accomplish that. And we ought to be like a flower when we awake each day and open our arms like flower petals and reaching out with a radiant countenance, shining Yahweh's word and doing his word, because Yahweh has sent his Son to love us, give us eternal life, pardon us from all of our sins, and give us the power of the Spirit, the Ruach HaKadosh, to repent and turn from our evil sins, from our evil nature. Now, with that in mind, here are some notes from Leviticus chapter 23 about this feast of Pentecost. Chapter 23 and Vayikra 23:15 and 16. The Feast of Shavuot, and what better time to consider about this counting as well, counting the feast, and that there are at least four elements that need to be present during the feast, and that's the grain or corn, the wine, the grapes, the wine, and the fig. And we shall give the proof of this from Scripture. But first, Leviticus 23, and you shall count unto you from, that very important word there, count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, count seven Sabbaths. Seven Sabbaths shall be complete. If it did not continue, and this was all we had to go by, then we would stop there and keep the day when it is completed. But it goes on and explains, verse 16, even unto, or AD, even unto, which means until or toward, even unto the morrow after the seventh Sabbath shall you number 50 days, and you shall offer a new meat or grain offering unto Yahweh. Now that's the wheat offering unto Yahweh. And a little bit more explanation here before we go to the scriptures for the Feast of Weeks, starting in the book of Acts, but the Hebrew definitions for that Leviticus 23, the English word on, and the Hebrew word is ba. The English to count from, or from out of, The Hebrew word is me. The word, the English word from, Hebrew word me. And after, achar, A-C-H-A-R is the Hebrew word. And then from the year, regarding the Feast of Jubilee in Leviticus 25, Mishana, the very next year after Jubilee. And halal, see Leviticus 22:27. The English word thenceforth defines that Hebrew word challah. So then let me take you now to an article from giveshare.org and also C.N. Terrell. Why count first fruits? Why did Yahweh choose 50 days? Did he just pick a random number? Or is there any significance to the number 50? Why not count 60, 70, 80, or even just 40? When we turn to the word of Yahweh, we are given very few clues. Leviticus 25 about Jubilee does speak in the 50th year, and other scriptures such as 1 Kings 18:4 and 2 Kings 1:9 speak of groups of 50 prophets, 50 soldiers. Yet efforts to tie in the scriptures such as these about Jubilee have fallen short in providing an understanding of the Feast of Shavuot, or the Feast of Pentecost. Perhaps if we understood the facts behind this, then we would know how to count correctly and have those four elements present. The grape, the wine, the meat offering or grain offering, and the figs. So what are the scriptures that? Old corn, the word translated old corn in the King James Version, and produce in the New King James is Strong's 5669, or abwur, which according to Strong means past, that is, kept over, used only of stored grain, the old corn, as found in Joshua chapter 5. That's the only place in the scripture where this word is used. So it's not used here in connection with the Feast of First Fruits. Abur comes from 5674. Abar, A-B-A-R, which among other things means carried over. Clark's commentary suggests that this was produce purchased from the inhabitants of the land. It could also mean grain that Israel had carried with them over the Jordan. Hence it was passed over. And not in connection with the Feast of Passover. It was Passover grain, which is what Abur means. Now, what is the command in Leviticus 23 regarding the wave sheaf offering, that we must have the sheaf present. We must have the crop present. We can't be celebrating the wave sheaf when there are no elements to offer, no fruit. And so wave sheaf. So it comes to mind that once they came into the land, that Israel was to offer a sheaf of first fruits of their harvest. Only then could they eat grain from the new harvest. So they were to offer a sheaf of their first fruits. They were not to offer the wave sheaf from grain purchased from the local inhabitants or from the Egyptian grain carried over the Jordan. It had to be your harvest. Leviticus 23:10. Israel did not have a harvest. Israel did not have a harvest when they had not yet conquered Jericho. So it had to be that it was a later time that we traditionally keep wave sheaf and thusly Pentecost. Josephus says in the Antiquities of the Jews in 10, 1 and 5, Josephus, Antiquities of the Jews, that Wave Sheaf Day was a busy work day. It was not a feast day, by the way. And you can find all that information under the website giveshare.org under Feast Day, or he calls it Holy Day, and then Holy Day, and then Pentecost. And keep in mind that we must have careful reverence for one another, proper respect, and not have a sour demeanor toward one another as we share these teachings with others, how we share the word of Yahweh with one another, how beautiful it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. We might discuss the calendar. We might discuss the feast days and Shavuot, Pentecost, if we were to let the Ruach HaKadosh, the Spirit of Yahweh, come alive and control us, and that we ourselves would not have an ego getting carried away with our intellectualism and unrighteous anger. So we got to watch our attitude and our demeanor, and don't be the meaner, but be the nicer. That is my little phrase there. And we should try to be diplomatic, especially if on the computer with others that we don't even know. There'd be no ramification if one were to try to hurt the other person, you might think, but there is an effect, a cause and effect, even if we insult somebody or get into a big fracas with them. So let's not be argumentative, but more friendly and sociable. And certainly Yahweh will bless that as we study with one another, not trying to shove it down somebody else's throats, and where Yahweh would not receive good impressions if we are condemning others and deriding and insulting and being uncharitable. So a word to the wise is sufficient, as my principal used to say. But be like a flower when we awake and share our love and share the spirit of Yahweh. How beautiful it is for brethren to dwell together. So we've read so far Leviticus 23. Then the scriptures for the Feast of Weeks also involve, as I mentioned, the book of Acts. And by the way, if you hear anything that I repeat here later, it is because the editor of the program has either inadvertently or from some other reason left these comments in there. So if I repeat something, it's not because you're hearing the same thing. So don't worry about repeating anyway. Acts chapter 2. In Acts, we have to have all the crops ready there. In Acts chapter 2, when the feast was fully come, if you turn to your scriptures, that's all about the day of Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks, that even Paul, or the apostle Shaul, kept, as we read later in Scripture too. So Acts chapter 2, first of all, I need to turn there, and then we can quote that. And remember that it is fully come. Pentecost, it says, was fully come, or the Greek simplero, fully come. And they were all in one accord in one place. And I'll give you the other references too about Book of Acts there from the Scriptures. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, simpleru, they were all in one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rustling mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Ruach HaKadosh and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together, and they were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in their own language. This is not to be confused with 1 Corinthians and the gifts of the Spirit, which includes the gift of tongues. I speak with the tongue of men and the tongue of angels. So verse 7, they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how do we hear every man in his own tongue wherein we were born? And Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in the tongues the wonderful works of Yahweh. There were 15 kinds of works there going on, I believe. Verse 12, they were amazed and in doubt, saying one to another, what does this mean? Others mocked, saying, these men are full of new wine. See, it wasn't carried over from Egypt, or in this case, it wasn't carried over from anywhere. They didn't save it all year, but it was fresh, new wine. Not just Zappa, but in grapes in their very sweet essence, but fermented wine. So Peter stood up with the 11, lifted up his voice, and said, "You men of Judea, and all you that dwell in Jerusalem, make this known unto you, and hearken to my words, for these are not drunk, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day," or, in other words, corresponding to our 9 o'clock in the morning. "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, in Joel 2:28, it shall come to pass in the last days, saith Yahweh, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days my spirit, and they shall prophesy. They shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of Yahweh come." Sounds like the second coming with great judgment, as Yahweh's coming there, described in Daniel and the book of the Revelation. 21, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of Yahweh shall be saved, not on the name of Jesus, but on the true name of Yahweh, on Yahweh's son, Yahusha. You men of Israel, hear these words, Messiah of Nazareth, Yahusha of Nazareth, a man approved of Yahweh among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which Yahweh did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of Yahweh, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom Yahweh has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held of it. For David speaks concerning him, I foresaw Yahweh always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer thy pure one to see corruption. Thou hast made known to the ways of life to me, thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me speak freely unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Verse 34, for David is not ascended into the heavens, the patriarch David, but he saith himself, Yahweh said unto my master, sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that Yahweh has made that same Messiah, Yahusha, whom you have impaled, both master and Messiah. Now when they heard this, they were moved in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter, or Kepha, said unto them, repent and be baptized, or immersed, every one of you, in the name of Yahusha, Messiah, the Messiah, the Savior, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Ruach HaKadosh. See also Ezekiel 18:30 regarding this, and prophecies in Isaiah. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to you that are afar off, even as many as Yahweh our Master shall call. Where it says Lord, it should not be that title there, but it should be Yahweh, from the Tetragrammaton, YHVH, or Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, Yahweh. 40. With many other words he testified and exhorted, saying, save yourselves from this crooked or untoward generation. Then they gladly received his word, were immersed, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. That is a rendition from the King James Version. Well, I needed to correct and put back into the proper words. But I did read from the King James with the corrections. You know that regarding this feast day of Pentecost, that it was also mentioned in the older scriptures in Exodus 22:29. Regarding the first fruits, Exodus chapter 22, after the Ten Commandments, this is part of the giving of the law, the commandments, statutes, and judgments. Exodus 22:29. Thou shalt not delay to offer the first of thy ripe fruits of thy liquors. The first of thy sons shalt thou give unto me. There's the phone there in the assembly, the synagogue there. And I think that my wife is answering that. Okay, next, Deuteronomy chapter 18. After having read Shemot 22, as Moses received the Torah to give unto the people, as at least the codified version of it that existed from a time eternity, including any corrections, which there were none. And then later, of course, the sacrifices were added due to transgressions that were our schoolmaster to bring us to Messiah. Now, Devarim, chapter 18, regarding first fruit or Reshith, Hebrew in Strong's is 7225. And it says also regarding the first fruits. And now that all the pages or smartphones have been turned to Deuteronomy 18:4, except for those who are driving, the first fruit also of thy corn, or dagon, is the Hebrew word, Strong 17:15, which means increase, grain, or wheat. 72:25 was corn, and Reshith, R-A-Y-C-H-I-Y-T-H. And of thy wine, Tirish or Tirosh, fresh grape juice or wine, that's Strong 84:92, the Hebrew T-I-Y-R-O-S-H. And of thine oil, oh, that's one ingredient I didn't get there out of all these ingredients, and also we're going to talk about figs here, but Hebrew 33:23, Yitzhar, Y-I-T-S-H-A-R, meaning oil. So these must all be present, all these products must be present there for the feasts. I think this is also for wave sheaf. And the first of thy fleece of thy sheep shalt thou give him. Now the animal sacrifices were replaced by the perfect lamb, the lamb who died for, the representative, died for our sins, for the whole nation. Messiah died at Calvary. Now in Nehemiah, or Nehemiah chapter 10, and I'm going to read there about all the offerings there that are present during the feast. Nehemiah 10:34, and also here reading from the King James as well, from Nehemiah. And we cast the lots among the priests, the Levites, and the people for the wood offering. Wood is eights, the same about the man who was gathering eights or wood on the Sabbath day, the man who was logging there in the book of Exodus. For the wood, eights, the wood offering, to bring it into the house of Yah after the houses of our fathers at times appointed year by year to burn up, to burn upon the altar of Yahweh, our Yah, as it is written in the law, and to bring the first fruits of our ground and the first fruits of all fruit of all trees year by year unto the house of Yahweh. This is in Nehemiah 10:36 now. The firstborn of our sons and of our cattle, as it is written in the law. So the first fruits, the first of our family, we offer up unto Yahweh. And the firstlings, we don't do that. We're commissioning them and condoning them as Yahweh would use these men of ours. The oldest man in the family is dedicated, there it is, the word dedicated, to give unto Yahweh. So the firstborn of our sons, as it is written, and the firstlings of our herds and of our flocks. Yes, we do, by the way, tithe the first fruit of our fruit. The firstlings of our herds and our flocks to bring to the house of Yahweh, unto the priests and the minister in the house of Yahweh, and that we should bring the first fruits of our dough and our offerings and the fruit of all manner of trees. So yes, you can tithe the fruit from your land, the manner of trees, of wine and of oil, unto the priests, to the chambers of the house of Yahweh, and the tithes of our ground unto the Levites, that the same Levites might have the tithes in all the cities of our tillage. And the priest, the son of Aaron, shall be with the Levites when the Levites take tithes, and the Levites shall bring up the tithe of the tithes unto the house of Yahweh, to the chambers, into the treasured house. The Levites are also tithing. Now verse 39 says, 10:39, for the children of Israel and the children of Levi shall bring the offering of the corn, of the new wine, new, not old, and the oil unto the chambers, where are the vessels of the sanctuary, and the priests that minister, and the porters and the singers. We will not forsake the house of our Yah. Oh, in verse 15, over here. In those days I saw in Judah some treading wine presses on the Sabbath, and bringing in sheaves, and laden asses, as also wine, grapes, and figs, and all manner of burdens which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath, and I testified against them in the day wherein they sold victuals. Nehemiah rebuked them for wanting to transact and do business and have a marketplace on the Sabbath day. For whatever reason, the end did not justify the means. So we have the crops again. We have wheat for our first fruits, or Pentecost, Feast of Weeks, Shavuot. Wheat is being harvested. And what is being harvested at the same time? Grapes. And, of course, then the grapes provide the wine, the new wine, and figs, and the oil. We all know grapes and figs are not winter, not spring, but summer fruit. Grapes and figs are our summer. And with this in mind, the Feast of Weeks has to be in summer. Not as the world reckons, I think they're right. It's after 621 of any year that the Feast of Shavuot can be kept, but certainly not at an earlier time in the fifth common month, that is May 31st, Memorial Day, the crops are not ready, but at a later time. So we count from wave sheaf. Wave sheaf, it doesn't always have to occur during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, even though we would try to work that out or rationalize it using the account where Messiah came to offer up on that particular Sabbath after his resurrection, to offer up unto the Father. He ascended to and was received by the Father to make that offering of wave sheaf on that particular year. But this varies. The agriculture crops, as you know, rotate in our calendar. So it has to be after 621 normally, though. Then here's a little bit of proof now about, this seems unrelated, but in Judges 15:4, talking about Samson, the fox's tail were set afire, the wheat was not burned up. Let me read this here. This is from Brother Terrell. When the fox's tails were set afire, the reason the wheat was not burned up is it had not come up yet. The wheat was not present. So it says in Judges 15, Samson went and caught 300 foxes and took firebrands and turned tail to tail and put a firebrand in the midst between two tails. That's in Judges 15. And Messiah said in John chapter 4 about the harvest. Yahusha said in John chapter 4, say not you that there are 4 months and then comes harvest? See, 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. Speaking of the souls that are ready to be harvested or reaped, spiritually speaking, symbolically speaking. So he said, in 4 months is the harvest. If you look when it was said, it was Passover time when Messiah made this statement in John chapter 4. John in Yochanan chapter 5, it says, after this there was a feast, and then they inserted of the Jews, and Messiah went up to Jerusalem. Now there is that Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. And then a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. Messiah saw him lie there and knew that he had been there a long time. And he said, wilt thou be made whole? The man answered, said, sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool, but while I was coming, another steppeth down before me. They kept getting in his way, and he couldn't get down into the water for this special miracle to occur, referred to in the earlier verse, where it said that spiritual power came down into the pool and troubled the water. So then back to verse 8, Messiah said unto them, rise and take up thy bed and walk. You know, we may need to be delivered from bondage and from our infirmities, from our sicknesses. By Yahweh's stripes, we are healed. We can be healed by trusting in him and keeping his mitzvah, by the way, to show that we have been saved. We show our love and obedience unto the most pure Father in heaven, to unto Yahweh. And we are sure that by studying the scriptures, we can come in and keep the truth. We can, you know, see him make corrections in our life where we have fallen short, where we have a temptation, say, to compromise, in other words, to let somebody talk us out of doing these things, these feast days of Yahweh, these moeds, the three traveling pilgrimage feasts, and even to count the year of Jubilee in Leviticus 25. We can also study into that one of these days. And people of old, even in the previous century, they kept first fruits even on the proper time. And then about 30 or 40 years later, they compromised. Millions of people were affected and left the church or started their own, some with a doctrine that they had been keeping all along, and others drastically departing from that, and their faith was gone. But they still meet. But someday Yahweh will come and bring a great blessing and pour out his spirit upon all. Let's finish up with that now. And then we have some other comments here that I made and recorded for you. But I'm going to try to find Joel next in the second chapter here. We've had the second chapter of Acts. And let's just pick up some portions out of the book of Joel. It also talks about the end times here. It talks about fasting as well, and the promise of the Ruach HaKadosh. How about Joel chapter 2, verse 10? It says, the earth shall quake before them, the heaven shall tremble, the sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. And Yahweh shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executes his word. He executes his word, for the day of Yahweh is great and very terrible. Who can abide it? Another verse says, who can stand in the day of Yahweh? Therefore also now saith Yahweh, turn you even to me now with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rent your heart, and not your garments, and turn unto Yahweh your Elohim. For he is benevolent, or yes, uses the word gracious here, benevolent and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repents him of the evil. Who knows if he'll return and repent and leave a, or in other words, change his mind and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto Yahweh, your Elohim. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Set apart a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people. Set the congregation apart. Assemble the elders. Gather the children and those that suck the breasts. Let the bridegroom go forth out of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. That is you. Yes, we are come. Well, we are coming to worship and praise him in spirit and truth. And we look forward to each feast as it symbolizes, typifies the time in the possibly near future when we shall see Yahweh face to face. We are the first fruits waiting patiently and hoping and waiting and praying for Yahweh's second coming. And that was from a reading from the book of Joel here, and Yahweh. And I need to make a correction here that there's been a problem with another ministry, and a brother by the name of David James, who is a prophetic speaker and seems to be a Jewish supporter, but he has been speaking things that don't agree with scriptures concerning the Torah. He either doesn't understand it, or there's another problem that's worse than just having a lack of knowledge. And also a program that I promoted, the Prophecy Today with Jimmy DeYoung, has been involved in this effort here, which boils down to trying to keep us from the freedom and the privilege of keeping Yahweh's feast days and the law. And wants to jumble that together with the traditions of the Jews, that is, the Mishnah and the rabbis with their different interpretations, adding all kinds of laws and various things that are hard, grievous to be borne, and thereby negating the commandment to come to Yahweh, to keep the feast, to keep Sabbath day feasts. And so I cannot recommend these brothers anymore, or when they are involved with Mr. James or another group, was the Berean Call, that they were involved with that effort as well. There seemed to be a minority, because many in the churches today are striving to grow with Yahweh and to find out and reach out to get more knowledge and get more blessings by obeying Yahweh. So more power to them and blessings to them as they in our effort and their effort as we actually we will come together. The two sticks will come together, the northern tribe and the southern tribe of Judah. We will all come together in understanding, but it's not an orchestrated thing by man. It is going to be a miracle when Yahweh puts us all together, brings us in true unity, in spirit and in truth. Not just any man-made unity, but we are here. And a decision has to be made. Are we going to be serious or not? Let's be serious. Let's get serious about Yahweh. It says in the book of Joel, chapter 3, 13, "Put you in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get down, for the press is full. The fats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes, in the valley of decision, for the day of Yahweh is near in the valley of decision." Shalom. And now as we continue from a previous part of this podcast, thank you. Let's go to the scriptures now on this Feast of Weeks. And commonly kept on the first day of the week, Pentecost. Sadducees considered the first day of the week after the weekly Sabbath that falls during the Feast of Unleavened Bread as Wave Sheaf Sunday, and celebrated their Pentecost on a Sunday 49 days later. In Leviticus chapter 25, that's Vayikra chapter 25, verses 8 through 11. Vayikra 25, 8 through 11 shows we are to number 7 times 7 years for the Feast of Jubilee. 49 years. Okay. Number 7 times 7 years, then keep the 50th year as Jubilee. And then in Vayikra chapter 23, verse 15. And we won't hear pages shuffling, but that's what we're going to be doing here. Vayikra 23:15 shows to number 50 days, then keep Pentecost or first fruits. The same word for number, the Hebrew kaphar, C-A-P-H-A-R, is Strong's Hebrew 5608. Kaphar is used in both passages for you're to number 50 days. We are to kaphar 49 years toward Jubilee and kaphar 50 days toward Pentecost. Pentecost and Jubilee are counted exactly the same, but they are different numbers to count. Counting Jubilee is a major proof that Pentecost is on the second day of the week, Monday. The first day of the count from a true wave sheaf is the zero day. In any count, there has to be a zero, and then a one, and so forth, one, two, and three. More importantly, on Shavuot, where is the preparation day for the feast? Whether or not Exodus 19 refers to Shavuot, whether or not the passage in Exodus 19, where Moses is preparing to go up to the mount and receive the law, the Torah, the written, codified instructions of Yahweh, and told how they should wash their clothes the day before, take care of themselves and animals, getting set for travel. If Shavuot were the first day of the week, that would make Sabbath, the day before that, the seventh-day Sabbath, a preparation day. We can't do that. That's a violation of Torah to make the seventh-day Sabbath preparation day. Where is the pilgrimage preparation day for Shavuot, for this Feast of Weeks, Pentecost? There's no instruction for where is the preparation day. So another quick side trip. As Yahweh brings us into all truth, praise Him not only in our words, but in our actions as well. As we are keeping the Shavuot, others are keeping it early, some keeping it later, some keeping the Shavuot or Pentecost late, when the figs, the wine, and the wheat are all present, according to Scripture, which we are going to cover that. And we ought to love our brother, even though they have different calendar dates. I will attend, possibly, one of the early feasts with another group, if they have a good message and a good fellowship, and all the other ingredients are there. So I go there just for the service, but that's not, in my reckoning, the correct date. But we need to have love for our brothers and some compassion for them. The dates that we've kept for 40 years include this Shavuot on the second day of the week, commonly called Monday. And I'm always ready to restudy, not to the nth degree, over and over the same, not going over the same property over and over and over. So, backing up, there is the new year, new moon, after equinox. And we know that Yahushua Messiah kept the Passover 14 days later, Aviv 14 in the night, as the Passover began. In the daytime portion before sunset, the high day of the 15th, we know that Messiah died. We ought to know that. That on the high day of the 15th, Messiah died, and he was in the grave from the 14th to the 17th, to the end of the 17th. He arose before sunset, exactly 3 nights and 3 days later, before Aviv 18, while it was still Aviv 17. I therefore do not agree that Messiah arose on the first day of the week, but that on the Wave Sheaf Sunday, or Aviv 18, he presented himself before the Father Yahweh. And we're free to disagree on that. Matthew 12:38 gives us the 3 nights and 3 days in the tomb. Matthew 28:1, Matthew, in the end of the Sabbath, before it grew dusk, toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene to the tomb. Messiah was already risen on the first day of the week. A full 72 hours that Messiah descended into the heart of the earth. The rest of the world is not doing it this way. And when they do, when all of the world is keeping it on this this other day, then I'll change. Do we say that? Or do we say, no, I'm going to change because I'm convinced by Scripture of what the truth is, what the action should be. And even though it might only be myself or maybe just a couple of us doing it, I'm going to obey what the Scripture says. I'm not going to wait until 12 people or 50 of them or 100 or thousands of people are doing it a different, you know, when they make a change, then I'll go along with it. No, I'm not going to go along with a trend. If I'm new in the faith, then I'll probably go with the trend because I really don't know anything much. So I'm going to have to follow, follow the blind, as it were. I'm blind, and I'm going to follow some blind leaders, at least in that area. They're blind. They're not blind about everything. With all the scriptures that we have, it is proof that the Feast of Weeks never came in the third Roman month. And by keeping it in that month, we're not keeping Yahweh's true Feast of Weeks, but we're keeping a day to ourselves. Every man did that which was right in his own heart. Do we follow the traditions of the Jewish priests and the traditions of the Roman Church and all the rest of the denominations that follow the Roman traditions, or will be following thus what Yahweh says, the Almighty One? And the choice is ours. Now let's go back to the Torah, to the original writing that Yahweh gave us, and Yahweh has sent His Spirit, and it's and so here's a song that we remember by Luke Garrett, a wonderful sound called The Breath of Yah. I think this song got skipped over by all of Christianity and people. I don't think you're aware of it. Now, let's listen to Luke Garrett in connection with the Feast of Pentecost, that when the Spirit was given and breathed out in Maasa or Acts chapter 2, Breath of Yah, breathe in me thy Spirit, O Breath of Yah. Oh, praise you, Father, Heavenly Father, Yahusha's name, praise Yah. I'm Stephen Yah. Thanks for joining me. Gathered all together, the question must be asked, as it was then, is there a breath to fill us? Can our dry spirits ever live again? Father, now our greatest need is for you to place the seed inside us, to fill us up with you. As you breathe your spirit in us, your own will be restored. We have come to life.
bread.